There are, in the published paper, which is in the Journal of Agronomy and Crop Science, there are other authors on this show too. As you will see, we require quite a few undergraduates or strong men to handle root studies. It's important in terms of trying to increase grain yield in wheat to be able to use water and nutrients effectively and to also reduce the amount of leachate nitrogen that results from wheat fields. In California, the nitrogen use efficiency of wheat is only about 50%. So that means that 50% of the nitrogen that we apply is being lost, and a lot of it goes into the groundwater. Also, it's known that the fraction of supplied N that is leached in plants or in crops is larger if the plants have a small and shallow root system. There are two primary components of nitrogen use efficiency: nitrogen uptake efficiency, which is plant N over N supplied, and nitrogen partitioning efficiency, which is grain N over plant N. And studies over different N levels indicate that nitrogen uptake efficiency is more important than nitrogen partitioning efficiency. Nitrogen uptake efficiency is related to root biomass and root characteristics. Well, there's genotypic variation in nitrogen uptake in wheat. The reason for this variation are not fully understood. Recent studies indicate that plant N is more likely controlled by both the plant growth rate and nitrogen availability. And in these studies that have been done so far, the role of the root system in nitrogen uptake was ignored. So essentially, we're ignoring up to half of the biomass of the plant. There's genotypic variation for phosphorus uptake in wheat. That's been published. And also there's variation for potassium uptake in chickpea that has been reported. So there ought to be variation for N uptake. We also know that there's genetic variation for root characteristics in wheat. In fact, they're quite large. And one thing that has become evident in the last few years is that genetic variation for root characteristics were not part of the original Green Revolution. The wheat-rye translocation lines involve the short arm of chromosome 1 of rye, 1RS, and this has been widely used in wheat breeding programs around the world. We evaluated a Simmet spring wheat, Pavon 76, and its three near isogenic translocation lines that carry the 1RS chromosome arm, and they are Pavon 1RS 1AL, where the 1RS arm replaces the 1AS arm from wheat, Pavon 1RS 1BL, where 1BS is replaced by 1RS, and Pavon 1RS 1DL, where 1RS replaces 1DS. And it's the same 1RS arm from Kafkas winter wheat in all these lines. And at first we did this study in sand cultures in pots under well-watered and droughted treatments for 2 years, and this is what we found. This is Pavon 76, a well-watered treatment and a drought stress treatment. 1RS 1AL, 1RS 1BL, and 1RS 1DL. And the mean in terms of the relative increase in root biomass between wet and dry is 1RS 1AL has 30% more root biomass. 1RS 1BL, which is the main line in agronomy so far, or plant breeding, has only 11% more root biomass, and 1RS1 DL, which is not used in plant breeding at the moment, has 26% more root biomass. Well, we moved from sand cultures in pots to sand cultures in tubes because you get a larger and deeper root system. And we had two levels of nutrients. We were interested in how the root system size differences affect nutrient uptake. We had an optimum level and a low level, which was about 40% less N than and P and K than the optimum level. We're also interested in collecting the amount of leachate and the content of the leachate that came from this experiment. And we did that at three stages for five consecutive days at tillering, at booting, and early grain filling. This is how we constructed the root tubes. You start with a plastic or polyethylene sleeve. You cut off about a meter length of the sleeve. You put some holes in the bottom for drainage. And then you can put this inside a PVC drain pipe and fill it with a standard sand that is washed. And so these are the tubes. They're about a meter tall, slightly less actually. And we stand them on a ring, and there are buckets to collect the leachate when we're doing that. So here you can see the seedlings are in there. There were these four lines, Pavon 76 and the three translocation lines. And here you can see the buckets to collect the leachate. And it's in a hog wire for a support system. So this is a mature plant. And then you need some young men to be able to do the harvest of this. Root studies is no country for older men, okay? Just because this is quite heavy, okay? And if you're going to go for 2 meters in length, then it's going to be even heavier. So these two gentlemen are on the paper that's published. So we bring out pull out the sleeve with the sand and the roots inside. You cut off the tops, of course. And you slit open the polyethylene sleeve. And then you can wash away the sand. And that gives you a root system. And you can measure that root system and divide it into sections if you wish. So this is what we get if we look at the different nutrient levels. Root biomass of the low level was 27% less than that in the optimum level. The plant biomass of the low level of nutrient was 25% less of that in the optimum level. And grain yield in the low level nutrient treatment was 19% less than in the optimum level. So we are not recommending that you use lower levels of nitrogen to increase grain yield and to increase or to decrease your nitrogen leachate. Okay. In terms of the plant biomass in the Pavon 76 1RS 1AL, 1RS 1BL, 1RS 1DL, the plant biomass was less in Pavon 76 than in some of the translocation lines. The grain yield was less in Pavon 76 than again, some of the translocation lines, and the root plant biomass percentage was again less in Pavon 76 than the translocation lines. So the 1RS arm is contributing to increased plant biomass, grain yield, and root as a percentage of plant biomass. And this is what the roots look like at the optimum level. Here's Pavon 76. And I think you can see that all the translocation lines have a larger root system. Okay? And it's a more dense root system as well. There's more branching. At the low level, you can see this again is Pavon 76, and these are the translocation lines. There again is more roots in these lines. In terms of leachate fraction, we looked at tillering, and there was no difference between leachate at tillering stage. At the booting stage, there was less leachate fraction in two of the translocation lines, A and D. And in terms of grain filling, there was less in... Well, no, there wasn't, sorry. It's the same, okay? So the main difference in the leachate fraction was at booting. In terms of leachate N concentration, at tillering, there was less in 1RS1BL and 1RS1DL. At booting, there was less in 1RS1AL and 1RS1DL. And at grain filling, there was less in 1RS1AL and again 1RS1DL. In terms of leachate N content, two of the translocation lines had less N content. At tillering, two had less at booting, and two had less at grain filling. In terms of plant P content, there was more phosphorus in the translocation lines and also more phosphorus in the grain in the translocation lines. In terms of potassium, it was the same at plant potassium, but there was more potassium in the translocation lines in the grain. In terms of plant N, there was more in the translocation lines than in Pavon 76, and in grain N, there was more in the translocation lines than in Pavon 76. In terms of nitrogen use efficiency for the plant, it was better for the translocation lines, and in terms of grain N, grain nitrogen use efficiency, again, it was better in the translocation lines. And you can look at this graphically. Total N in the plant, root biomass in grams per plant. And so if you increase the root biomass by 1 gram per plant, you increase the total N in the plant by 144 milligrams. And we do not know where this line ends, okay? In terms of plant biomass and total N in the plant, again, we get a significant correlation. And again, we don't know where this peaks. In terms of grain yield, for each gram that you increase root biomass, you increase grain yield by 1.88 grams. And again, we don't know where this peaks. So in conclusion, Pavon 1RS translocation lines allocated more dry matter for root production. They absorbed more water and nutrients, produced larger plants, had higher grain yield, and higher harvest index. So if you put more energy into your roots, you are not necessarily going to decrease grain yield and harvest index, which is one reason why people have said you should have small roots. It's not true. The translocation lines left less residual N for nitrate leaching than Pavon 76 that produced less root biomass. There was a reduction in N from the optimum level would result in a smaller plant, which would have a smaller root system, have lower grain yield, so that is not recommended. And we recommend that to elevate grain production in bred wheat with a concomitant reduction in nitrate leaching, wheat genotypes should be selected that have early shoot vigor and a larger root system. We know what the optimum size for the shoot system in wheat is. It's somewhere between 80 and 100 centimeters, but we have no idea what the optimum size for root system is in wheat. Thank you. Yes, yes, there is from the early experiments. There is and from field experiments, but we haven't gone back to the field and measured the depth of the roots in these tube systems.